Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ahí va a llegar el gol del Arsenal. Ozil marca. Mesut Ozil, el envío al área, el remate, ahí está el primer tanto del partido. No lo celebra, por supuesto, Aaron Ramsey. 0-1 para el Arsenal.
This is Arscast Extra.
Hello there, welcome to another Arscast Extra, as always with James from Gunnerblog. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And how was your weekend?
It was lovely. For the first half of it, I was actually in Marrakesh in Morocco. So that was very exciting.
For half a weekend?
Half a weekend. Well, I'd been there some of the preceding days too. But seeing as you only asked me about the weekend, I was just, you know, being accurate. But I returned to a very gloomy London on Sunday.
Quite different.
Slightly depressing.
Different from Marrakesh, I'm sure.
Very different in lots of ways. Less camels.
Well, that is one of London's big downfalls.
Yeah, that is one of my issues with it. You have to pay the asking price for most things in London. That irritates me.
No haggling, I mean, is that the...
Yeah, no haggling. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, I'm not a great haggler. There's been a bit of dick law about some of my negotiations this week. going in too low, if anything. I think, you know, it's a fine line between driving a hard bargain and just insulting people. as Dick has found out on many occasions.
So you're undervaluing the work or the goods, the quality of the merchandise that people are trying to sell to you, to the point where they become irate with you for thinking that they would be purveyors of such shoddy workmanship. Is that it?
Exactly that.
What were you buying?
I was trying to buy Luis Suarez. Yeah. I was buying all sorts, really, because the first 2 days I was there, it rained, so I was like, well, what else to do but wander around buying ethnic objects? So I've got bowls, I've got a video camera that doesn't work anymore, I've got...
Well, that's handy.
A leather satchel. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I was just like... I was just overexcited, to be honest with you, and this concept of not having to pay the initial price was so appealing to me that everything felt like a bargain.
Yeah.
Little do I know, obviously, they're just quoting me an absurd price up front.
Of course, but, because, I mean, you would look like a tourist, it has to be said. You don't look...
You would say that. I can see why you'd say that, but let me tell you, once I slip a pair of sandals and a Hawaiian shirt on, I could be a Moroccan. You'd never know.
You blend seamlessly into the native background there, yeah.
Yeah. Did you see that lookalike of me, by the way?
I did see that. What was the guy's name?
We should have looked this up. But basically, a listener or a reader sent me a photo through of a lookalike of me. And I get quite a few of these, which is surprising because I'm quite relatively unusual. I like to think of myself as, you know, a genetic freak.
Yeah.
But, I thought it was really good. And the scariest part of it was I then Googled the chap in question. He looks like a bit like me today. Mm. He's a basketball player in college basketball. His name is Matt Stainbrook.
Matt Stainbrook.
Yeah, that's it. And basically, if you Google him, he used to be really fat with long hair. And I also used to be really fat with long hair. I feel like this man's sort of living my parallel life.
A literal doppelganger.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's 6'10". That's the only difference. So if he was in Morocco, he'd never get away with it. But I blended seamlessly into the background.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, it is quite uncanny, this Matt Stainbrook fellow. People should Google it right now.
I mean, if you don't know what I look like, it's not interesting. But if you do, it might be.
Vaguely. interest.
Vaguely. I mean, it's more interesting to me because it makes me wonder about, is this man my secret brother? Why have we never been allowed to meet? Was he sold when we were babies? Were we separated somehow? Also, why is he so much taller?
Yeah, he must have got more of the good juice.
Exactly. Mm. I mean, I don't want to think too much about the biology of it, but there you go.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing.
Is he any good at basketball? Do we know? I mean, what's his career
good.
Prospects? Do we reckon he's going to be an NBA guy, or is he going to?
I'm hoping so, because I sort of think that it'll be useful as I age to sort of have a reference point to be like, well, I might look like shit, but how's Matt Stainbrook doing? And if he's kind of on a level with me, then I'll feel better about myself.
He's on Twitter. I've just Matt Stainbrook 40.
Right. And I mean, let's get in touch.
Yeah.
This could turn into a sort of Dave Gorman thing, couldn't it? Where I'm sort of pursuing him around the world.
I mean,
it could also just be a restraining order thing eventually.
Yeah, will you please stop talking about me, please?
Yeah, I don't know who you are, short man.
Yeah.
Go away.
But you're not that short. You're 6 foot two?
6 foot something. I used to be 6 foot two, but I'm now 6 foot one.
What happened? Did you lose weight off the soles of your feet?
No. basically, in my other life, I was acting a lot and doing a lot of acting and auditioning, and I was down to 6 foot two. And then an agent told me that by being 6 foot two, I was kind of limiting myself to tall parts. She was like, yeah, if you say 6 foot two on your CV, you'll only get seen for tall people. So I was like, I know, I'll put 6 foot one. So there was a sort of momentous day where I changed my height. And I was like, guys, I'm 6 foot one now. And just don't wear high heels to auditions and hope for the best.
And are you finding that you're being
I think so.
Given the opportunities, for example, to be in a live-action Smurf movie?
Exactly. Well, I haven't put 5 foot one or 2 foot one or whatever it is, but
yeah.
I think I'm getting more castings for sort of average man, yeah.
Right.
But don't tell anyone.
We
I'm
won't.
6 foot two.
This
Keep
is
it
a,
quiet.
Yeah, this is a very, very subtle trick that you've played on the casting world.
Yeah, I was really delighted.
Yeah.
But yeah, and also for my casting pictures, I just use photos of Matt Stainbrook. So they think they're getting a famous basketball player.
Yeah.
So that's been my week. What have you been doing?
I haven't been doing anything as interesting as that.
Mm-hmm.
I really haven't. I've been not watching football.
Did you watch the Ireland match last night?
No, I didn't. I chose to watch episodes of BoJack Horseman instead.
Okay.
Which is very amusing. It's a very amusing show. Mrs. Bloggs doesn't like it that much, so I kind of have to watch it on my own.
But I've never seen it, actually, I must
it's,
say.
It's quite absurd in places, but I enjoy that side of things.
Mm.
And I figured Ireland against Poland... It's like a local derby, obviously, because of everything that's gone on. That lorry's particularly loud.
Yeah,
this morning,
I don't know.
I
mean, they're not going anywhere, are they? They are sticking with it. I'm not sure what they're trying to do or how slowly it's possible for a lorry to reverse. But
yeah,
I have a suspicion that some sort of work's going on. Can't see.
I hear some revving though.
Go on, you can do it.
Go on, lorry. We all love you, but there comes a point where we have to... It's like your child. Everyone loves their children, but at some point they become really annoying and you want to send them to bed. So this is a bit like that.
I don't think we're going to get this lorry in a bed.
I don't know what to do then.
In Morocco, they had... not just in Morocco, but in the hotel where I stayed. They had, like, beds just, like, outside in the garden.
Was that... Why?
Not some beds, like beds made up, four-poster white beds, and you could just get in them and have a sleep.
In the middle of the day?
Yeah.
For napping?
I don't know if Moroccans are nocturnal species, but basically I found that weird, because when I'm asleep, I move around a lot, and I would feel self-conscious exposing that to the sort of general public.
There is also the, you know, the possibility that when you're asleep, you make noises, you know, snoring and grunting and all those kind of things. I wouldn't like to be asleep in public.
I drool in my sleep.
Yeah, I've been known to drool from time to time. But yeah, I wouldn't fancy just being asleep where other people can walk by and go, there's a sleeping guy.
It was a relatively classy establishment. I mean, you know, it's only me we're talking about, but I thought that was a bit weird. The beeping has stopped.
That's good. That is good. So we can return to talking about a cartoon about a horse who was a star of a hit TV show. One of those All in the Family kind of Charles in Charge type sitcoms, and then is now a bit washed up. And he takes lots of drugs and drinks a lot. And it's Will Arnett, of course, from Arrested Development, who's got a great voice, has to
he
be
has.
Said.
Yeah. Certainly. And he's very funny. Yeah.
Aaron Paul is his sidekick kind of guy. And it's all quite surreal and fun. And I think probably better than watching Ireland against Poland. Because I don't think Ireland are very good. And there was no particular Arsenal interest in Poland. Lukasz Fabianski was in goal and let in an equaliser in the 90th minute. But that was about it.
Yeah, apparently he did okay, Fabianski. So Szczesny's been dropped for Poland as well. He must be chuffed with that.
Yeah, he must be delighted with the way his season is panning out.
Not good at all. No. I didn't see England, I must say. It wasn't a priority for Moroccan television to show England-Lithuania.
They were showing college basketball.
Exactly.
With Matt Stainbrook.
In my honour.
Yeah.
I was getting recognised constantly. Yeah. And, but Boyle-Clance, Danny Welbeck was man of the match before his knee fell off or something.
Yeah, I believe he scored a goal and got an assist, and then he tweaked his knee, according to Roy Hodgson. So I'm not quite sure what that means or what
Whatever.
It's going to mean.
Tell us the truth, Roy.
Yeah.
He's dying. Just admit it. We're not children. Don't pander to us.
Yeah, there's no need to sugarcoat it, man.
Was it his knee or his head? What's happened? I'd be surprised if he's fit to face Liverpool, but you never know.
You never know. He seems, well, no, I won't say
don't
anything.
Don't say that. We've said that before.
The
and
R
we
word.
See him for 2 months.
The R word. We better not say it, right. So, yeah, that was that. I don't think Kieran Gibbs played. Theo Walcott got on for a few minutes.
Customary cameo.
Yep. 14 minutes at the end, the first time he's played for England in a year and a half, 2 years, something like that. I don't know what else happened. Olivier Giroud scored a good goal for France against Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
That was good. Mm-hmm. I saw a gif of that, one of those cool movie gifs that you can, like, swizzle back and forth. I like those.
Nice.
They're brilliant, actually. They're really good.
Oh, by the way, while I was away, who was it? Someone said gif to me, and I said, what are you doing? You've said GIF instead of GIF. And then they claimed that the inventor of such a thing they'd seen them saying that it's supposed to be GIF.
Yeah, I saw that a few months ago, but I refuse to pander to the whims of a man who doesn't really know what he's talking about, even if he is the inventor of it.
Right.
Because GIF, as we all know, is a versatile household cleaner.
Is it called GIF in Ireland?
Which now? A GIF or a GIF?
Sorry, the cleaning product.
Yes, it's called GIF.
Because on the continent, it's called SIF, I believe.
Yes, that's true, but we're not continental.
Okay,
we're just
so you've
kind of
GIF.
Yeah, we're just over to the left of you.
Presumably that was part of the Euro negotiations. It was like, we're going to take the currency, but we want to retain this name of the cleaning product.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's not uncommon that other things in Europe have a different name. For example, Lynx deodorant is known as Axe.
Yeah, that's true. Globally, it's known as Axe.
Is it?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's Axe in America.
Yeah. It's a bit like spraying yourself with some kind of weird bee jism or something, isn't it? Doesn't smell good.
No, it's horrible. Yeah. I think I briefly used it as a teenager, fooled into it by one of those adverts that sort of tells you everyone's going to be in love with you. Didn't pan out. I sued the bastards.
And that's why you're able to pursue a career as a medium-height character actor.
Yeah, exactly. Travelling to Morocco on a whim.
Mm. But it's GIF here in Ireland. I tend to use just, you know, plain package cleaners. I'm not in for all that branded nonsense, you know. But,
A man of modest pleasures.
Yes, indeed.
Alexis played at the Emirates.
So he did. I didn't see any of that. I saw some people on Twitter saying, wow, Chile are really into this kicking Neymar thing, that was about it. But that sounds like a good name for a Pixar movie, doesn't it? Kicking Neymar.
Yeah,
that would be good. With a little cartoon guy and everyone just goes around booting him in the ocean or something.
Under the sea, yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently he played through the middle and played quite well. I didn't see it, I must admit. I think he didn't play for them in midweek, though, which is good. They had a friendly, I want to say, against Iran in Austria. And apparently...
Where else would you have a friendly against Iran but in Austria?
It seems the obvious place, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So apparently he didn't play that much, so he might have got a little bit of rest.
Mm.
I don't really know what else is going on. Chubakpom scored for the under-20s.
I thought you were going to say Chewbacca there for a moment, and I was really excited that there was some Chewbacca Star Wars Arsenal connection.
I don't know. I'm always on the lookout for Star Wars news, if anyone comes across any, because I'm excited about the new film. I'm too excited. I know it's going to let me down.
It's not out till 2017 or something, is it?
I don't know. Ages. I think it's December this year, so it might as well
be
that far. Yeah.
But you know what they'll do? I don't quite understand why they do it now, is that they'll release a trailer, which is essentially the whole movie. Remember when trailers used to be like 60 seconds and you go, ooh, that looks really quite cool. And now each one is about 2.5 minutes and it tells you the whole story and all the best bits are in the trailer already. And half the time the best bits aren't even that good. They kind of put you off now, trailers.
Well, if you've seen the trailer, there's no need to see the film, is there?
No.
A lot of the time.
No, you just multiply the trailer by 100, so it's 2.5 minutes, and you get 2.5 hours, or maybe my maths is off here, but 100% perhaps. I don't know what I'm talking about. But anyway, Chuba Akpom.
Oh, he went on loan as well.
Yeah, he's not in the new Star Wars movie.
He's not? No.
I believe Benny Cofobe has got a cameo, though.
He's the lead, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he's gone on loan to Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, that's quite a good move, isn't it? I mean, it makes sense. He's been on loan at Coventry and Brentford before, I think in the division below.
Mm.
So it's a step up. Forest, I spoke to a Forest fan briefly. All their strikers are injured. He's pretty much the only fit centre-forward they've got.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and they play like a 4-2-3-1. So they'll be looking to use him as the kind of main guy in that. So... I hope he gets some game time there. I think it's a good step for him.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting one, because, you know, Forest are a bit outside the playoff places, and, you know, if they do have ambitions to reach there, they're going to have to score some goals. And for him as well, it's a good chance to show Arsene Wenger what he can do, because he's not quite ready for us, but certainly way beyond reserve and youth team football.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Do you think... I don't know. Do you think he's got a chance of being in the squad next season, or do you see him having a full season out on loan next year?
That is a very good question. I guess it'll be dependent on what he does during this loan spell, but you'd have to think that even another loan spell would be probably the best thing for him.
Hmm.
You know, it's not as if we're short of options, and maybe a full season at a Premier League club would be... a good chance for him to develop even further. He's still very young. He's only 19. So, you know, I think perhaps more than any other position, forward is one where you need to be playing regularly, you know, in order to work your way into a manager's thinking. And it's, you know, I think everyone wants to see a homegrown striker come through and do well. But at the same time, that has to be balanced with the demands of people who want a world-class striker.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you bring someone in, that pushes Akpom further down the pecking order. But I do think a loan spell in the Premier League could do him well. Danny Welbeck went from Manchester United to Sunderland, and it was kind of the making of him. And
yeah,
there have been others who've followed that path. So, yeah, we'll see how he gets on at Forest, I guess. If he scores 100 goals between now and the end of the season, then maybe we'll use him next year.
Yeah, he might get the odd substitute appearance in the Capital One Cup.
Yeah, maybe.
So, look, Germany played last night, France played last night, Chile played yesterday, so some of our attacking players will have a nice 5-day gap between between now and the Liverpool game at the weekend. I don't know who's going to be involved this week. Walcott, maybe, involved in the friendly against Italy. Is this a chance for him to push his way back into Roy Hodgson's thinking and, by consequence of that, giving Arsene Wenger something to think about?
Possibly. I'm not sure what team England will line up with. I know Kieran Gibbs is expected to start because Leighton Baines has been sent home. Not for bad behaviour. He's injured. Other than that, yeah, maybe Walcott. I think we'll see him for some time. Roy Hodgson spoke about him in the build-up to the first game, and his words were sort of a little bit ominous for Theo. I know that's sort of a theme of the podcast in recent weeks, but he was saying something about how when you're out injured for a long time, it can leave you kind of on the back foot.
Yeah.
You know, that other players come in and move ahead of you. And I think that is the case, both club and country, for Theo at the moment. Someone like Raheem Sterling is ahead of him in the pecking order now, in Hodgson's thoughts. So, yeah, if he gets a chance, he's really got to take it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, look, I don't want to go down the Walcott road again, because, like you say, it's been a theme for the last few weeks. So, look, what we'll do is we'll take a short little break here, and then we'll take some questions in part two right after this.
Hello and welcome back to the Askcast Extra. We're going to have a look at some of your questions now. Thanks, as ever, for sending these in. First one comes from... Who does it come from? I could have had this prepared.
I think it's Matt Stainbrook.
Yes, Matt Stainbrook. Why are you following me? No, it's Ardash Atoll, and his Twitter handle, conveniently, is the same as his name. And he asked very simply, Walcott and Sterling, would you do a swap?
I don't know. I don't know, actually. Sterling looks exciting and looks like a better all-round footballer than Walcott, you know? But I do wonder about this story, whether it's just two agents who have players in contract situations using this as a way to, as part of the negotiation process with their clubs, you know? You know, Walcott's got a year left, and we know which way that could go. But it's also a way that his agents and his people can make him more money. The same with Raheem Sterling. I think he's got 2 years left, though, on his deal, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not as urgent for Liverpool to deal with the Sterling situation as it is for Arsenal to deal with the Walcott one. But, you know, yeah, why not? Why not? I'd give it a lash.
Do you find this story credible at all? I mean, I can't really see that if he's going to leave Liverpool. I don't know. I mean, it's not like he'd be jumping to a side who are sort of significantly more in title contention than his own. Do you know what I mean?
But maybe it's not about title contention. Maybe it's about, you know, being
money.
Maybe it's about being in London. Because a follow-up question, perhaps. Ah, crap. This is from a guy whose name I can't pronounce whatsoever. His first name is Kareem, though, and I'll leave it at that. His surname is the unpronounceable bit, and his Twitter handle is Kalgaharabali. See, I shouldn't have even bothered, but he says, Raheem goes out partying in London with the Ox and Welbs. Is this a good or a bad thing?
Does he mean for our chances of signing him, or just generally?
I don't know. It could be like, is it good that he goes to parties with Oxlade-Chamberlain and Welbeck? Could be that he's discussing the quality of the parties that he goes to. Or it could be that his connection with these two guys and their propensity and love of partying together might mean he settles in very quickly at Arsenal should we bring him in. I don't know. It's right up there. You decide.
Okay. I mean, I guess it could be a factor in any potential deal. You know, he's a London boy. He was at QPR before Liverpool. He loves partying with Oxlade-Chamberlain and Danny Welbeck. Who wouldn't, to be honest? If you said to me, you've got to go out partying with two Arsenal players, they'd be right at the top of the list.
You reckon?
Yeah, I think so. Who would you go for?
I don't know, actually.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
May, I'm kind of too old for partying as it goes. You know, the verb to party is not really, you know, it's not my thing. I'm too old for that now. But if I were a younger man, I guess Oxlade-Chamberlain would be a good guy to hang out with because he's very funny. We've got a really good sense of humour, Oxlade-Chamberlain. So he would be good. I mean, I'm assuming that these are sober parties because as professional athletes, they wouldn't be out partying like the whole spring break throwing, you know, bucket loads of tequila down their necks. So you'd want to be out with somebody who, in their sober state, was relatively entertaining. So Oxlade-Chamberlain would be right up there. I'm not sure about Welbeck from a personality point of view. Maybe he's just one of those quiet, lurkingly funny, entertaining guys, but I don't know enough about him.
True.
So I couldn't say.
Anyway, the point is, I don't think we'll buy Raheem Sterling. If I had to put money on it, I'd say I don't think that will happen.
This summer? Or any summer?
This summer. I think there'll be clubs with more money involved and more resources, and I also think that he may well stay there and it might just be part of a bigger game. We're mere a pawn in the plans of an agent here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I would definitely take him, though. I do think he's a better footballer than Walcott, even though he's one of those players who, have you ever noticed, there are certain players who never seem to kick the ball with their laces.
Yeah.
Have you ever encountered that? So there are guys who, everything is side foot, and like you feel like they never really generate power. They can be a brilliant technical player who can dribble past five guys, but they can't really generate power when they kick the ball.
Yeah,
and Sterling is one of those.
I don't think I've watched him closely enough to notice that, but I will in the future.
Yeah, keep an eye out. I mean, like he's not a great finisher as well, as it happens, but I think that will come for him. But I think he's a very good player.
How old is he? 19 now? 20?
Yeah, something like that. 20 maybe.
Right. So he's still very young. The whole finishing thing can take a while to develop. So
yeah.
Well, I guess we'll see.
We'll see. What, have you got a question?
Yeah. Why not? Why not?
I know you kind of used one then, but
I did use one. Okay, here we go. This one comes from Ian Wright, at IH Wright, and not Ian Wright, former Arsenal striker.
Okay.
A different Ian Wright. And he says, what progress, if any, have Arsenal made this season? And if there has been some, is it satisfactory? Hashtag ArsCastExtert. We should have disqualified the question on the basis of a fucked up hashtag, actually.
It's very generous of you.
Yeah.
Have we made progress? So the boring answer is to say, ask me at the end of the season, I suppose.
Yeah, that's pretty boring.
There's a lot to be decided. If you ask me to make a judgment now, have we? Kind of. In some ways, yes. In some ways, no. I feel like we have, in terms of the fact that we've got some results against big teams. That is a massive thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's been absent for a long time. And whether or not it's a trend that continues, the fact that we have beaten both Manchester sides in 2015 is a big step. You know, and I feel like it's something that wouldn't have happened last season or in the preceding decade, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or didn't happen, effectively.
Yeah.
So that's progress. whether or not we've made progress in terms of our league standing and our sort of sense of being credible challengers for the major trophies, the Premier League and the Champions League, I'm not so sure.
Could you say... and again, bearing in mind we have to wait until the end of the season to see where we end up. Could you say that we have, in fact, made not progress? Because last season we topped the league for longer than anybody and were genuine title contenders until it all fell apart. But now this time around, we've found ourselves way off the pace very early, which is something that was typical of previous seasons. So... Can we make the judgment yet, though? That's the thing. I mean, we could end up with more points, in which case, by the very definition, you'd have to say we made progress. But on the basis of what you feel and the way the season has gone, it's hard to make that argument, I think.
Yeah, I think a lot does come down to league positioning. You know, what were we, fourth last year in the end?
Yep.
We might edge ahead to that. We might retain the FA Cup, which I think is... in some respects, harder than winning it. I know it's almost exactly the same thing, but I just think retaining competitions is notoriously difficult. I don't know. Have we made progress? I don't think we have, really. The funny thing is, in 2015, I'm not sure there's been a better Premier League side than us.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of talk about Liverpool, but there's no team who I think is playing better football or playing better or more consistently than we are at present.
Mm.
Chelsea, for example... My Chelsea supporting brother tells me they've played well once since Christmas, in his estimation, and are sort of slightly stumbling towards the line.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I think we've had a really good second half of the season, but the first half was so frustrating that actually we've sort of kind of ended up back where we were last year. I'm not sure it's been significantly better or worse. It feels kind of... similar, but maybe just the other way around.
Yeah, and also maybe the fact that having done what we did in the league last season and it falling apart, but, you know, nevertheless, to be top of the table for as long as we were and winning the FA Cup raised expectations to the point where people thought, right, we can do that again, even if we're not necessarily top of the table, but we can keep the pace with the teams that are.
We definitely fell short in that respect.
Yeah, of course. And you know, when you bring in new players, is there an argument to be made perhaps that the amount of new players? Arsene Wenger's always spoken about how difficult it is to integrate a large amount of new players into a squad, and he's pointed at Tottenham, for example, who've routinely brought in six or seven new players in a season and found it difficult for a team to gel. Is the fact that the team is doing better in the second half of the season down to these relationships becoming better, because we've got a new goalkeeper in the last couple of months, a new right back, a number of new right backs, three new right backs actually over the course of the season, because Debuchy was in, then he was injured, Chambers was there, then Bellerin's made the breakthrough, Alexis has come into the side, and however you like to qualify him or categorise him, I think he's a player that you have to learn to play with if you're one of the other players. Danny Welbeck has come in. You know, is that a factor in how things have gone?
I think so. I mean, I do think the squad is better than it was a year ago, even if results aren't significantly better.
Sure.
And I think you're right. I think that there was a big period of adaptation. There were other issues as well. There was the World Cup hangover. There were a lot of injuries. And I also think that perhaps Arsene Wenger kind of... he takes so much flack for when it goes wrong in the first half of the campaign, but I'm not sure he's had enough recognition for the way he's helped turn it around. You know, if you think about some of the decisions he's made, dropping Chesney was a bold call, giving Francis Coquelin his head, although Coquelin's performances forced it, was also a bold call. He's you know, left Theo Walcott out. He's reshaped the team and changed from the 4-1-4-1 with which he started the season quite dramatically. So I think, you know, he's helped revive the season too.
Mm.
It's just a shame, as we all know, it's a shame that so much damage was done in that first half of the campaign, really. You can't help but wonder what might have been.
Or what should have been.
Yeah, I think what should have been is maybe a better phrase.
Yeah.
Because, as you say, having won the FA Cup, we were in such a strong position and everybody knew where the gaps were in the squad, you know?
Yeah. All right. I think it's your turn.
Okay, let's have this one. This is a bit off topic slightly, but it's from Trev, who's at Trev Tall, and he says, it's great that Sol Campbell, that is, pissed off Spurs fans, but I can't help but think he's a towering arsehole. Discuss.
He's an odd character.
Yes.
That's for sure. I mean, the story that I put on the blog today, where in this summit at Whitehall, and they're discussing the lack of opportunities for black managers, which is obviously a very important thing to discuss. But I am Sol Campbell is absolutely fantastic, but also kind of bonkers. And I do think it's, I don't know, maybe because we're more exposed to people these days that, you know, a guy who would have been an absolute hero, for example, can, through his utterances on social media, I'm not necessarily discussing Sol Campbell here, but anybody, whether it's a footballer, an artist, a musician, an actor, somebody whose work you admire, can say something on Twitter that makes you think, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's a consequence of the age we live in and something we're going to have to get used to. I don't want to call Sol Campbell a towering arsehole, but, you know, people will ask questions when he's putting himself up for the Conservative Party, I guess, that won't endear him to anyone who doesn't like the Conservative Party, for example. But then people are entitled to their opinions and their political beliefs, etc., etc. So, I don't know. I'm just not sure that if he does have ambitions to be a manager, that he's going about things the right way.
Well, for a start, he needs to choose between being a manager and being a politician, because I can't necessarily see those being too compatible.
No.
Yeah, I don't know about Sol. I've met Sol a couple of times, and he's very polite, very nice guy, but he does seem... I understand why he's got a bee in his bonnet, and even though I don't like that phrase because it trivialises it, but I understand why he's passionate about certain issues, and the lack of representation of black players on the coaching side is a problem. It's
yeah.
a definite problem, and there, I think there is a problem with getting black coaches and managers into the game, and steps do need to be taken to address that. But I think he has a somewhat unfortunate way of expressing himself that can sometimes do as much harm as good, you know.
Yeah.
He's not a great spokesperson for that particular campaign. And his sense of entitlement, I am Sol Campbell, is potentially problematic.
All right. A question for you. This one comes from Gunnar Swede at Ursu. And he wants to know, choose one German to get for free. Hummels, Müller, or Reus. Reus.
Jose Antonio Reus.
Oh, it's a Reus. Hang on. Wait. Question's not finished yet.
Right.
So choose one German to get for free. Hummels, Müller, or the other guy. And the unchosen two go to Chelsea and Spurs, respectively.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
That changes things.
It does.
Everybody loves Marco Reus, don't they? Everybody raves about him. And I've never been quite as on board as the rest of the world. I feel like there's a secret about him I don't quite know.
Yeah.
He's one of the most talks about footballers in the world.
Mm.
And yet, he's perennially injured, as far as I can tell.
I don't trust his face. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I just don't trust his face.
Right.
He's got one of those faces where he looks like he'd sell you knockoff speakers in a McDonald's car park.
God. I think that's probably what he will do after he retires. I would probably go, you know. Hang on, Reus, Hummels. I worry about Hummels going to either team because, you know, I think they could both do with an improvement at centre-half and he would potentially give them that.
Yeah.
That said, I think I would take Thomas Müller. It's a slightly cynical move, but he just seems to have a kind of magic power to win football matches because he doesn't have any sort of obvious standout attributes.
Mm.
You know, he's not a flair player. He's not someone who's particularly eye-catching on the ball. But he's got an incredible sense of positioning and he can finish. And he never really scores good goals, but he scores lots of goals. And I think I don't know what it is about him, but I just think he's a winner and a top player, really. So that's who I would have, and damn the consequences.
Right. Okay.
What about you?
So where does Royce go?
Do I get to choose where the others go?
Yeah.
Well, I'll put... I think I'll put Hummels at Spurs because I don't think he can sort them out on his own.
Yeah.
And I'll put Royce at Chelsea because, to be honest, they've already got Hazard. They've had Royce as well. I'm not sure it'll make a massive difference. I do think their main problem is at centre-back, actually. Gary Cahill's been a bit of a liability for them. So I just don't want to solve that issue.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
That's my choice.
Very good. It's hard to argue with that one, but I will.
Go on. For the sake of the podcast.
For the sake of the podcast, I would take Hummels.
Okay.
I was looking at them. They're all about the same age, 25, 26. I think at some point we are going to have to look at the long-term situation at centre-half. Koscielny and Mertesacker not getting any younger, not saying they're over the hill by any means. And Hummels is a good player, very good player, good centre-half, 25, 26. His best years are ahead of him. He sports a natty pair of sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I would take him, putting Muller where? See, that's the difficulty now. I'm improving the other two.
I mean, Muller's the sort of player who, if he plays for you, you'd love him, but playing for anyone else, he's an absolute bastard.
Yeah. So, do Chelsea need another absolute bastard? Probably. So he could go there because he could just, I don't know, he could probably have a training ground fight with Eden Hazard because they're sort of the same kind of role, are they not? He's, you know, I know he's a centre forward, but he plays...
He can play on the right, or, yeah.
Yeah, so they could get in each other's way and have a great big falling out. And they could perhaps engage in some training ground jinx like John Hartson and Ile Berkovic. Remember that?
To the death.
Yeah. Literally just take turns in kicking each other in the head. And Royce can go to Tottenham because he's... Well, they probably find a lot of people to sell the speakers to around there.
I imagine so. And if he was any good, he'd leave them after 2 years anyway.
A year. Yeah.
Right.
He might give them the extra year because he was out injured for the entire first year, so...
True.
So there we go.
All right, good job. I'm sure the internet will think we should have signed Marco Royce.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right, then. One more question from you, or do you have one? Or?
I actually don't. No, I'm out.
You don't have any more questions. Okay. Here's two very quick ones. Two very quick ones. Because one, okay. I think we need to help. This one comes from RB, at Rich Beckers. And he says, we have a baby due in July. He said that to both of us, so I'm assuming he means...
Do you know about this?
I'm assuming he means with his wife, and not that the three of us are involved in a three men and a baby kind of situation.
Okay.
But he says, any suggestions on Arsenal-themed names I can suggest to the boss? I assume there he means his wife, and not his boss, unless his wife is also his boss, which is certainly possible.
Who knows? I don't know. I've thought about this. I don't have any children, but I've often thought, could I sort of sneak in a player name if I did?
Mm.
I
think you need something that's going to stand out, you know? There's names that you could choose, like Henry, which would be, people would go, oh, Henry, and you go, yes, but it's pronounced Henry.
Yeah, you need to give something distinctive, like Nwankwo.
Yes. Yeah, Nwankwo Beckers. I think that's a very good name. Probably not for a little girl, if it's a little girl.
No, Nwankwo is a very masculine name. What else is good? Let me have a think. Yeah, you can't go for just a sort of straight... You can't name your child Paul or Martin, Tony.
Freddy or Dennis, really. You know, I mean, they're there, but, you know, to get that real Arsenal connection. I think there's only one option for Rich... And the boss, Silvino.
For a boy or a girl?
Both.
Silvina,
yeah.
I think it's a lovely name. You'd be worried that your child might turn into sort of little wolf baby.
That's true, but you know, it would be distinctive. You know, if for example, he became an actor, or indeed somebody else in the performing arts, he could be one of those people who's known by just the one name.
Like Prince or Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Silvino. Silvino. I think that's the I think that's the answer here.
All right, well, definitely send us a picture of the eventual birth certificate with Silvino written on it. I'd like to see that.
Yeah. All right, Rich, so glad we've solved that one for you. And the very last question comes from Mitesh Khatri at Mitesh_K. And he said, if the FA mandated a quota of one cybernetic organism, for example, an android per team, what super quality would you give it?
Ooh, so I can sort of program this android or build it to have one particular...
Yeah.
It's like Robot Wars, isn't it?
A little bit.
I quite liked Robot Wars. But it was really easy to win. You just needed to build a little wedge that could flip the other one over, and that was it. Game over.
Yeah.
That's not what I would put in a Premier League player.
Wouldn't be that handy.
Flamethrower?
Collateral damage is a big possibility there.
You sound like a man who's used a lot of flamethrowers.
Well, I'm just saying that if you do set fire to an opponent, chances are there's one of your own teammates close by and they could catch fire too, and that would be counterproductive.
Fair point. I don't know then. I'm so obsessed with the idea of flamethrower, I'm finding it difficult to think outside of that box. I have too many fantasies about it. I don't know. What do you think?
I think giving it the power to shoot the ball at 300 miles per hour would be superb.
Right, yeah, some sort of mechanical...
Yeah, just like super shot. And he could shoot from, you know, anywhere. Unless they were playing five-a-side rules where you had to be, you know, inside the half to shoot. But I don't think that applies to Premier League football. So that's what I would do.
It would certainly solve our direct free kick problem.
Yes, because who would get in the way of that? The only problem is, if you were to give it that much power, perhaps there would be an accuracy issue. You'd need a guidance chip, and that could be cheating by giving it two powers.
I think that's all right. I think it can aim... I'm just deciding things about this fictional android now.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yeah, it can aim. Don't worry about it. I mean, we basically had one of those, and we sold it. It was Lukas Podolski.
Yeah. Yeah.
So... No. It's about, you've got to give it other attributes too. You also need to give it some run-around-y attributes.
Yeah, that's true. The immobility is the issue. All right, well, look, we'll leave it there. We're going to play Liverpool on Saturday.
I know, and we made it through this podcast, even though nothing is happening. I'm quite impressed.
Yeah. So, obviously, we'll have to discuss that on the Arsecast on Friday, the whole Liverpool thing. But it's a big game, isn't it? Because if we were to beat Liverpool... we would open up a 9-point gap over them, which would more or less kill their Champions League ambitions, would it not?
You'd think, surely. And more or less, would you say, cement our place in the top four?
More or less. It would be something of a collapse to lose it from there. So, yeah, it's a huge game for both teams.
What's your feeling?
My feeling is that we are going to win.
Oh, that's good.
That's my feeling.
I think we could well win. They've got a few problems, haven't they? So, I mean, I don't know how injured he is, but Daniel Sturridge pulled out of the England squad.
Apparently he's out for a month.
Ah, well, there you go. Skrtel will be suspended.
No last-minute headers from that fucker.
Yeah, Gerrard, unfortunately, will be suspended, so no beautiful, incisive assists for our strikers from him.
Well, that's a shame. It's something we're going to have to cope with, but...
Exactly. So I think we've got a very good chance, actually, of beating them. And I think if we do, we'll be in a relatively strong position.
All right. Well, look, we're going to leave it there. I suggest that you open up a window and put your laptop close to it so that the fan can get some help in cooling it down.
It's close to exploding, I think.
It does sound a bit like that. And, of course, we'll chat on next Monday's Arsecast Extra.
Okay, cool. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.